Rico
podcast.
Bring a friend.
Don't encourage him. Don't encourage that, because you're gonna find out in a minute how crazy it gets.
That's all. You brought it up.
You want to introduce the guest, since this is the first person who hasn't like flaked on us that's running for governor in Missouri.
Yeah, he didn't us, so we went ahead and called.
Are we live? Because
yeah, we're live.
I'm gonna be nice. Don't say that name again, because I will shred him.
Oh, are you guys gonna like do a boxing match like Mike Tyson?
No, I wish style, I wish people would commit to a debate, because I'm a guy of truth.
Okay.
There's a lot of non-truths.
Oh, that God. Gets.
But this is Chris Wright, and he's running for governor, and he's a U.S. Army vet.
Yep.
Retired E7?
No, I am retiring in June.
Retiring
in June. Yes. Okay. I did my final formation.
You have your DD-214?
What are they going to do to me? I have a couple of them.
Oh, then fuck it. Fuck the Army then.
Yeah,
fuck
I got my
DD-214. Yeah, if you got your DD-214, you're good. That's good.
I did my final formation last weekend. And
how was it?
It was stupid. It was a complete waste of time.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, I mean, I've loved every bit of the Army as far as the camaraderie with the people, mm-hmm. but some of the things I just...
Like what? Like just...
Well, the final formation.
Like the final formation.
It's literally something where... They brought everybody to Fort Leonard Wood.
That doesn't give a fuck.
Right. They did one last 45 minutes to try to get them to stay in, because we were mixed in, us ones that are retiring mm-hmm. and then the ones that are just ETSing.
Yeah.
And they put us all together at first, and then.
What the fuck?
I mean, I get it. They tried, but I also come from recruiting. I was 5 years recruiting. I was like. You guys.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You guys.
Oof.
I never did that.
You guys are not convincing. Oof.
Well, that's anybody. why you didn't make seven, bro. You got to make seven in the military. You have to be recruiting, DI, tabbed, and not sapper tabbed, like ranger tabbed or special forces. Or you have to be a NCO of the what's it called? Help me out here, man.
I'm trying to think. You named all of them.
I named the main three. Delta, obviously. But when
it comes to the reserve component, the National Guard, you gotta be willing to drill just about anywhere in the state, because there's a limited number of slots.
So can you explain that? Because I've never understood like how the National Guard and the reserve work.
So in the National Guard, I'll use it for example. I'm probably going to blow you away, but I used to be a dental assistant.
Oh,
yeah, we know.
The military.
Yeah,
Yeah. So perfect example, you know, from E1 to E5, I got that my first six years. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty moved up pretty quickly.
Because you like teeth? Is that why you?
No, I wasn't even involved with the teeth yet.
Oh, okay.
What did you join as?
Concrete asphalt specialist.
So 12.
It's 12 Victor 12 now, which I think they've even got rid of that. They've kind of rolled everything into the 12 November.
Yeah,
that's the MOS that I hold now. But so E1 to E5 was quick, easy. It took me almost 10 years. Hold on, no. E5. Oh, gosh. 10 years to get 7, but 5 years to get E5 to E6, and I ended up having to go to a different MOS because there weren't enough slots for the E6s. So what it is as a 68 Echo, the dental assistant, there is only one E7 slot in the entire state. One NCOIC. There are about 10 or 11 E6 slots, probably five or six.
So is it that like a first sergeant position then? Would it be treated as?
They would... If the first sergeant was not available, then yes,
it would be
E7. And so here I am an E6 in, you know, 2011, just waiting, mm-hmm. you know, waiting for the old guy to die or retire. And then that wasn't going to happen. So I picked up my 7 in recruiting simply because there was a lot more. Now I had to earn it. I had to prove myself.
When did you work recruiting? What years?
2017. I got hired November 2017, and I resigned my full-time AGR job in order to run for governor July of 2022.
Okay. How shitty? I gotta ask. Because like, yeah, Army guy, and then I know he has.
I'm gonna give it to you straight.
Yeah, how shitty was recruiting? Because I've heard stories, but this was like, and I'll explain to you why. My recruiter was real cool with me. Like, I got recruiting out of Seville, Puerto Rico, right under where the mall is, Caribbean Cinema 7. And I sent you pictures when I drove by it, because I went to Puerto Rico. I just recently went with my wife and she met my family, and I drove by and I was sending him pictures of food. Like, I sent him a video of my mom making a flan, and he's like, all I get back is good. You motherfucker. But I did bring him a bottle of Don Q though.
Yes,
so
he did.
That's a brother, man. So, and he was like straight with me. Like, when I joined as an MP, he was like, you know, man, like, the probability of you going to combat is 99%. And by God, I graduated basic, and a month later I was in Iraq. Would you rather, like, is it true that you guys, like, have a quota? Like, I just want to know the ins and outs. Okay.
So, they called it a mission. So, well, you know how
we gotta take him down.
I can imagine that officer situation. We need a recruit mission. It's like, the fuck you mean?
No, they would give you a mission. So, the state of Missouri had their number of recruits that they had to do from NGB, National Guard Bureau. So, and then that disseminated into, you know, areas, and then the individual recruiters. So, my mission usually was 14 to 16, just kind of depended on
a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that means if he has 14 or 16, how many other recruiting stations? Because in what area were you?
Because Joplin. So Joplin. Well, you also got to remember that there's a market, the DOD market, and DOD market share is market. Basically, like what you're talking about, all the branches and all the recruiters have this market for zip codes. So Joplin 648-01-02-03-04.
Oh, that's why the majority of Marines come from Texas then. That explains a lot then.
Because they used to have a Marine recruiting and a Navy recruiting up in Camden, but they don't have it there anymore.
Yeah, because I was looking at the Marine Corps numbers, and I think it was like over 43% of, like, the Marine Corps comes from Texas, and I didn't understand
how. And so they call that a market share, and so you have all branches and all recruiters trying to get a share of this market. And usually it's, like I said, it's zip codes and it's assigned schools. So I would be assigned, you know, Joplin, Carthage, Seneca, Carl Junction, Diamond, Sarcoxie.
So you had a pretty big area there.
Damn.
There are bigger areas. Mine was, it was a good size, but I had a lot of students in the high schools that I had to choose from. Plus we had MSSU, which is a college to choose from. So anyway, it's all about market share and how much of that market. And usually the guard got the market share just because we had more recruiters in the area. And not everybody wants to go active duty.
Really?
No, they don't.
I would think that if you're going to pay me to not smoke weed and not be stupid, that you would pay me full time. But that's Ricardo Aviles's thoughts process.
Right. Yeah. Why? No. Because a lot of kids, you know, going up through junior high and high school, I don't want to say indoctrinate, but they say, hey, the only way you're going to succeed is if you go to college. Well,
oh yeah, that bullshit.
You're not going to go to college when you're active duty.
It's difficult, and you can, but it's difficult.
It's hard. Yeah, but.
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
You're going to be in the field all the time.
Yeah.
You are.
Or you're going to have that one first sergeant or that one commander that says, oh, you don't have a PT of 250.
Yeah.
Why should I give you TA?
Yeah.
So that I did it. But dude, I had to maintain a PT of 280 and above.
Yeah.
I had to like it was ridiculous. It's the amount of shit. Garbage. And as an MP, at least, dude, I remember like not sleeping and just like taking 4 hours of sleep and like, yeah, you get TA, but like, well, you know, good luck.
And here's the other.
Because I had to do it on the ship, which is after 12 hours of working and then going.
So
yeah, no, you're tired.
I should preface this, yeah, Mr. So Wright. Eric
was difficult.
Eric was in the Navy back in the 50s. So he did like the things on paper and then he emailed them back and.
We didn't have computers back then.
I could tell.
So I didn't know that. That was like the
and
the
here's
thing
the other
for them.
Thing that where the National Guard dominates in recruiting, because that's your number one factor, the kids that want to go to college. And the number two, all of the components, the active duty and reserves. I'm not talking National Guard, the reserves, because you've got three components with the Army. You got active duty, reserves, National Guard.
Okay.
Reserves and National Guard are part-time components of Big Army.
Yeah.
Right.
Where does Big Army, so National Guard gets their powers and authority from the
NGP.
State. NGP.
So the National Guard falls under the state, but we still belong under NGB.
Okay.
National Guard Bureau, because
so it's kind of a dual.
Yes, we're dual mission. Okay. Basically, our number one priority is our communities and our state, but we can be called up for federal service.
So you could be like some state sent some troops down to the border.
That's a good example.
And Missouri has not sent enough. I'm just going to say that right now.
Well, I don't know how many they sent. I didn't actually see that. But I'm just saying that's the type of dual service you're talking about, is federal or for state.
Yeah,
the state can send you to another state.
To give you an example, I have served overseas in Iraq, like we were talking about before the show. And then I've also done hurricane duty in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Louisiana got rocked by a hurricane. Yeah. And
we sent 5,000.
What's that?
5,000.
Oh, my bad. 25. We sent 2,500.
2,500
is what we sent. And there's about 5,000. No, this is Missouri National Guard. And this is like from total what's over there is about 5,000 estimate. And again, that's I don't think that's.
No, that's not accurate. There's no way.
That's not?
No. There's only 8,500 in Missouri National Guard.
Okay, so 25 is pretty big.
I think that is overall all the states that have.
There it is, right there. Guard. Texas National Guard has deployed more than 5,000 of its own guard troops.
Now that's
to the
Texas.
Border.
Now.
Texas,
yeah, Texas, yeah, not Missouri.
So
okay,
I'll keep looking. Go ahead. I got you.
No, you're fine. But anyway, that's some of the differences with.
Okay.
And the last thing I'll talk about with that is, so every branch offers tuition assistance, federal TA, assistance.
Oh, wow.
Where the National Guard can basically up the ante is, we have federal TA because we fall under active component.
Correct.
But we also have state TA, which the active duties don't have and the reserve doesn't have. It's only the National Guard. That's why we were always able to kill it in recruiting, because we literally, if you wanted to go to the University of Missouri, which is $320 or $350 credit hour, 100% paid for tuition.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't, because they're getting lied to by the active component.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, at the end of the day, the recruiters just want the number.
Well, yeah, of course.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But so while you're in, when did you decide to like run for governor? I mean, talk to Parsons or did you just not?
Nope. I
been in politics before.
No, I was on city council in Neosho back in. It's been so long. I think 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for maybe 6 months to a year, but ended up getting a job offer to work over the road, and then I couldn't be there, so I took the job.
Pushed you to make the decision and put your foot down and say, "Fuck it, I'm gonna run."
It's funny because
you had a pretty cozy. Here's why I asked that. You had a cozy job. Like, you had a really good job.
I was comfortable. Plus, I have a small business, a construction business that I was able to do both.
Like, what's the name of it, by the way, again?
Right Family Homes.
Shout out. Okay. We'll clip that.
And I know I'm a human being. I'm not going to pretend I'm not somebody, whatever. But, you know, like this show, we're a bunch of vets, so we're gonna have that locker room talk. But how this all got here is, well, I'm a God-fearing man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting in church with my wife, and I just felt a calling, and I was like, there is no way. And I told her that, and she's like, really? You feel like you got a calling to run for governor? I was like, I do, but I'm not gonna do it. I'm not qualified. I don't want to do it. God made a mistake, you know, all the stuff. Well, when something really churns in your heart and doesn't go away, this went on for 4 months. I'm like, no, how am I going to go against?
Were you always like religious? Like always, did you always feel like you had a purpose in the army, or was that just like one day in church?
Ever since I was 18, I've always had that religious, you know. I got saved when I was 18, but again, like I said, we're humans. We make mistakes. You know, we're not perfect. So anyway, yeah, I'm in church and this is going on for 4 months. I'm not in church for 4 months. Let me rephrase.
That's a lot of praying.
By the way, 200 people is the number of guardsmen that we've sent.
200. I thought it was 200, but 200. I didn't want to spout numbers without looking. But
okay,
and that's
a company. That's one company.
Let's throw some. Oh my god!
You know, we used to have these things called MEBs that were really good in Iraq, but you know.
Yeah.
Mobile enhanced brigades that could have helped. But anyways, go ahead. So you're feeling this calling for 4 months.
Navy's got like missiles and stuff.
Y'all got fun toys.
We do. All the fun toys. Yeah. So 4 months this is going on, and finally I'm sitting in church again. And I'd never heard the full story of Joshua conquering Jericho. And basically what it is God calls Joshua to go conquer Jericho. Mm-hmm. And Joshua's a regular dude like me, you know, like, you know, it's impossible, Lord. And that's what I was like. I was like, you want me to go take on Jeff City? I was like, how? Yeah. I'm just a regular dude that's not been in politics. Yep. And at the end of the day, it wasn't about winning or losing. It was about just being obedient to a calling. And so my wife looked at me, she goes, you're running for governor, aren't you? I was like, I am. I was like, here we go. We'll figure it out. But, you know, to kind of get off that subject to another one, you know, all my friends that know me, all my. So
I know where this is going already. Like, what the fuck are you smoking, bro?
Yeah. Yes, they absolutely said that. But they also said, hey, if anybody's going to pull this off, it's going to be you. Mm-hmm. Because they know. I don't know. There's just something I'll just figure out a way to make this happen.
Well, I don't think it was God. I just had a reason.
I ran for
Senate. And
you were also endorsed by Trump too, if I recall correctly. Also Trump by Trump, yeah. So. Most people don't know. We've never said that on the podcast. Now that I think about that, we've never had that conversation on the podcast. Yes. Eric was endorsed by Trump.
Yeah. So didn't.
I'm looking that now.
I'm still here.
So, I'm looking. You know. That's why he's on the podcast.
That's why I'm on the podcast. But I just had an urge to go run for Senate. I don't know if it was God or I just had an urge to do it. So
the state Senate or U.S. Senate?
It was a U.S. Senate. Okay. Because I was, you know, a little arrogant, I guess.
All right. I'll share this just because this is good.
Yeah.
This is. I found this out, by the way. I found this out like 6 months ago. I didn't even know he ran. And I come to find out you got 100,000 votes or something like that. Yeah. Something like it was like 3 or 5%, something like that.
No kidding. No,
I think so. I mean, I think so. Hold on. Let me.
I don't remember the number exactly, but yeah.
I looked at
the Republican primary for U.S. Senate there features the state's former Republican governor, who was forced to resign from that job after about 5 minutes in a scandal over blackmailing his former mistress after he allegedly forced her into a non-consensual sexual encounter and then photographed it. Mm-hmm. More recently, Eric Greitens's ex-wife has accused him in court of physically abusing both her and their kids.
Isn't that the guy that's a Navy SEAL, I think, right?
He's released an ad that
him
and other guys with guns in tactical gear.
I have questions about that.
To hunt fellow Republicans they deem insufficiently Trumpy by storming into their house with guns.
I've never seen that. Oh my God. He brought the guys with decked out team numbers and everything.
Yeah, Jesus. He got a lot of flack for that.
Main rival for the U.S. Senate nomination.
I did not know that, by the way. That's a.
Attorney General in Missouri.
I feel like he did that and he went to his homies and he's like, guys, I have an idea.
To get the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Biden's election and then launch a fundraising effort off of it. Tonight,
here we go.
I guess this is breaking news. On the eve of tomorrow's Missouri primary, Donald Trump released an endorsement in this contest between Eric Greitens and Eric Schmidt. Trump says he is endorsing Eric. I'm not kidding.
Eric has my complete, but there's three Erics because there's three Erics. Hold on, it gets better. It gets better.
I'm therefore proud to announce that Eric has my complete and total endorsement. And yes, both Erics have enthusiastically accepted.
No, where's the third? No. That was the whole thing. Oh no, I'm gonna find that now. Because that was the whole thing, was like it was on People magazine, and they're like, and it had his picture, and I'm like, bro, why the fuck do you not have this? Like
that's totally a Donald Trump deal. You know, just jacking with the media.
But believe it or not, Vicky Hartzler endorsed me.
I like Vicky.
So
what are my questions to you?
So she didn't endorse anybody else, but she's like, so I have a little clip that says,
now people know.
She endorsed me, and she said, must be a great day for Eric McElroy. I was like, I didn't know about it until the next day. So
I didn't know about this for like a year after it happened. Dude, how do you think I feel?
Wow.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is obviously the human trafficking stuff. Cause as you know, you found out this morning, like the look on his eye when I told him that I used to work those cases, he's like,
argh! Yeah.
But one of the things that I really wanted to talk to you about is about teachers, specifically salary, which I'll let you take the floor on that. My question is, And this is more, I think, of a morality issue, but in terms of legalities, what are your thoughts with the whole problem with teachers having OnlyFans? I understand that it's a pay issue, but I also have seen a lot of examples in the past couple of years where students are like sharing it and stuff like that. And my whole thing is, when I've spoken to attorneys, they're like, well, I don't know why no one has like processed those parents for allowing their underage teenagers to share pornography.
Thank you.
My question to you is, what are your thoughts on this whole ordeal? Because I know teachers, and I have a lot of teachers who listen in Missouri. So this is one of the questions that I got from a teacher.
It's better than sleeping with their students.
Way better. But let him cook.
Okay, so let's start with that was a lot of meat.
Because you're pro teachers. Absolutely. Like, I know that.
So I'm gonna start with kind of what where I talk about teachers on the campaign trail. So we are at a critical state where we need teachers badly.
Mm-hmm. How badly?
Like, I think we are 25% short of what our normal
eyes. Oh, okay.
Now, again, I'm a man of truth, you know, don't quote me that that's exact, but
that's still, we're a quote, at a, let's say
we are in a critical state of, of and need, and we have been for a while. So yes, the teacher pay, I absolutely would support an increase in teacher pay. And there's some people like, what about all the crappy teachers and this and that? I was like, well, every industry is going to have bad something. There's bad cops. There's bad people in the military. Yeah. There's bad teachers. You know, don't let that very small percentage ruin it for everybody else. There's a lot of very wonderful, fantastic teachers that love kids, that really want to learn. But it's more than just pay. It's the Department of Education, you know, in Missouri and at a national level, we call it DESE.
Mm-hmm.
They're handcuffing these teachers. These teachers are not able to teach the curriculum that they've been.
Well, yeah, because when they came out with Common Core, I thought that was I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's where they do arithmetic and it looks like a pyramid or a triangle.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's stupid. And the only reason that they started teaching it because they took federal dollars. And
exactly.
It wasn't for that, if they said, because I'm pretty sure it went something like this. It's like, well, you don't have to teach it. Just give us the money back. But the money was already spent.
It was already spent.
So my point to that is, then one of the issues is we have an outdated teaching system.
Yes.
Is what I'm hearing. Okay, go ahead.
So what about charter schools? Don't you think?
Well, hold on.
Hold on.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
I gave him a lot for a reason.
Yeah, you're right. 18 other things that.
Six questions in there. I can break them down.
I know. Yeah. So to break it down, I absolutely would support a teacher salary increase, because we're some of the teachers out there are some of the lowest paid. And, you know, they're a public servant along with all the other first responders. They're a public servant. And what they have to deal with in the classrooms from not only the state and federal level of Department of Education, we also have a lot of parents that don't parent, and they're having to deal with kids that quite frankly just need their ass whooped, you know, some discipline in their life. Mm-hmm. Then you also, they're having to deal with the kids that have mental issues, and we don't have enough mental health professionals to, mm-hmm. to help these kids that have mental health. And it's just this big old snowball effect. And here we are, we're going to give teachers, you know, 40 grand, even some teachers that are 2 years out of school, this big plate of crap that they have to deal with, mm-hmm. that they don't have that life experience. They don't have that training in college. And anyway, I kind of went on a rabbit hole with that, but teachers need a lot of help, and okay. I'm going to support teachers in every way. Now, me being who I am, I don't have notes on your question. What was the second part of your question again?
The second part to that question would be, how would that look like? How can we increase a teacher's salary? Because here's my whole thing with teachers, man. Like, if it wasn't for a teacher, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Right.
I speak three languages.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for a teacher that took the time to sit down and say, hey, fucker, you're going to perfect this skill, right? I wouldn't be doing this. And in Japan, teachers are bowed to. Obviously, I'm not looking for that. But the point that I'm trying to preface is, I think teachers deal with a lot of shit. And one of the reasons I asked that mm-hmm. is because, how can we see that happen? Because to me, there's two possible solutions. One, there has to be a culture change within the teaching classroom, because I've seen how some teachers get talked to. And I know for a fact for Greene County, because I used to be the interpreter. Mm-hmm. I have heard people tell their teacher, hey, don't let us catch you a picture of you like buying alcohol or something, like as if I'm in the fucking army.
Right.
And teachers to me get treated kind of like corporals. Like,
that's good analogy.
You get all the fucking knowledge and wisdom of being an NCO with none of the pay and the fucking respect. Yeah, you don't even get an NCO. How would that look like how can we change that would be my question.
That's got to be done at I feel like a local level. You know, it's so important. You guys are going to have elections for school board members mm-hmm. coming up. That's where a lot of it comes from. If you have just bad people that get elected to the school board that allow, and I don't know the demographics of your listeners, you know, mm-hmm. liberal, Republican, whatever, but the fact that
highly Republican males, 27 to
50, I
think. 50, okay. No, 50 some. 50,
is it 56?
No, 52.
52.
52 highly Republican.
Because I'm trying to explain this, but not completely piss off your audience. But
I don't give a fuck. Matter is,
piss them off.
Yeah, bro.
We can't have liberal people on our school boards.
In what sense? They what do you mean by liberal?
Like, liberals, the ones that allow DEI, the ones that allow the pornographic books in the libraries.
Okay, I'm tracking.
People that don't seem to have the common sense of, hey, you're having an effect on our children, and it's not a good effect. But
correct.
Yeah, I understand the thing of not banning books, but not letting kids see certain books.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
I have an analogy for that.
There is a deal, and here's the thing. These kids that are in elementary, junior high school, none of them are adults until they turn 18.
Yes.
We do not need to have this stuff at a public school. If you want your child to learn about whatever, as a parent, you have that right to, and that needs to be done at home. And here's the sad part is, we don't have parenting at home anymore, because we're either working to death because our mm-hmm. our taxes are too high, our utility rates are too high, or we're going to 15 different sports for all the kids, you know, trying to do
you
that.
You have two working parents. You usually, two nowadays, you normally don't have a mom staying home.
Or you got parents that can't get off drugs, or you have parents that can't get off their cell phone because they want the cell phone to babysit the kids. And we all know this. And I could take your phone, get in it, and in 5 seconds be on a pornographic site or how to make meth or like it.
Well, yeah, everything's
so
on the internet.
One of the, yeah. So hold on. So my whole thing with the pay, right? This would be then.
The pay is a legislative
issue.
It's a legislative issue. Okay. They have to approve it. It would have to go to my desk if I'm governor, and I would have to sign.
I'm assuming this is something that if you elected, you want to pursue highly.
Yes, I can tell by the sound of your voice. Also, as a governor, I work with the legislature to say, hey, I want to see more funding in these areas.
Yeah. Because Springfield has the biggest school system with 58 districts, yes, 58 schools. Yeah, that's why I asked. It's huge. That's why, to me, it's a big issue.
It is a big issue. It's one of my campaign platforms.
Yeah, and that's why I asked about charter schools, because in every instance where in different states, charter schools actually did better than the other schools. And as a result, the public schools,
because they're held accountable, because as a charter school, if you're not performing, you can be taken away. With public schools, we don't see that because,
And I don't know what would qualify as I've had bad teachers. I know what a bad teacher is, but how does a state or a school decide what a bad teacher is?
I'm going to define a bad teacher. That's a good question. My definition of a bad teacher, and I'll kind of go back to whenever I'm campaigning, tell them about my platform. I give this example right here. Mm-hmm. If you're a fourth grade math teacher, there's two things you need to worry about: fourth grade math curriculum and the safety of your students while they're with you. All this other garbage needs to go out the door. That has no business in your fourth grade math, because the end of the day, the reality is, and I don't pay attention to other states, but Missouri, it is astounding how few kids know reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's mind-boggling, and I've seen it firsthand as a recruiter. So you guys are military guys, so you know.
Oh, that, you deal with schools a lot.
Yeah, all the time.
I didn't put that together. I'm sorry.
I did a lot of the ASVAB interpretations.
Yeah.
So the ASVAB interpretation is these kids take an ASVAB, which is very similar to an ACT.
Mm-hmm.
They have scores based on how they did. And the minimum back then was 31 to enter into all the branches. To get a 31, you would have to
fail 5 parts, I think.
You would have to know just like the absolute bare minimum math and reading. And so I feel like half the kids had below a 31.
So what's a good score? I have to know this, because I've never asked this. What's a good, like, if someone hypothetically scored a 99, is that good?
That's a perfect score. I've had one recruit ever score a 99. In 5 years in recruiting, I saw 6 people personally that scored a 99. A good score, really anything.
If you're in this around 60, that should be.
60s are good. 50, 51 would kick off bonuses for us in the National Guard. But I always told people, hey, if you got a 40 or above, I consider that not bad, because.
Yeah.
I consider myself well-knowledged on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I'm not a math scholar by any means, but I got a 51 and I didn't pay a whole lot of attention in school, but I know the basics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would get these kids that are scoring 10s and 12s and 15s and 20s. I'm like, how's this even possible? And so I'd bring them to my office and give them a practice ASVAB. And I would say, hey, I'm going to watch you just so I can see maybe where your struggle is. Mm-hmm.
You trying to look for then when you were doing that?
Just to see their process of going through problems, because a lot of it's in math. So they would go through, and I kid you not, the problem is these kids can't do long division. They can't do basic percentages. They can't do basic math. I had so many kids that like 8 plus 7, they're... It's just shocking to me how poor a lot of our scores were. And this kind of goes back to the No Child Left Behind. The fact of the matter is, not every child learns the same as the others. We're just pushing these kids through schools like cattle. Well, some of them have special needs and maybe need some special attention. Some of these kids are excellent learners, and maybe they should be able to move forward or what, but it's almost like No Child Left Behind, so we're just going to push everybody through the system, and then they get into the real world and they get annihilated, and then they get on government assistance, and us taxpayers are having to pay for a bad policy from Obama back in whenever
I think that was Bush.
Sorry, I went on a little bit of a rant, but I just Bush care. For I really No Child Left care. Behind.
I think,
but I get point. I get your point. But that's why I was a component of charter schools, because, they have a standard, and they're not really worried about test, because it just seemed like my nieces and nephews, when they're going through school, it's like they had to pass a test. Mm-hmm. That was what their goal
right
was.
On the, you are right on the money, because in it public wasn't
about
schools,
it was just about memorizing, not knowing it, but you just memorize it.
Public
and some,
schools
and some stuff you do have to memorize, like your timetable. Yeah, sure, you sure. do memorize that. But
public schools, they're literally teaching kids to pass a test and move. They're not retaining anything.
Yeah, because I know when in the Navy, when I took a test, after I took the test, I just data dumped everything.
Well, that's what
just,
they do in the military. You know how it is. They feed you with a water hose.
Yeah.
It's like recruiting. You know, my first week, day one, I had a test. Mm-hmm. Day, I think it was five, I had five tests. And I'm like, I've only been here 5 days. It's like literally drinking from a water hose. Yeah. And I didn't learn anything in recruiting school. I learned it out in the field. Yeah. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but all, OJ, the, all OJT, the schools, yeah, all the schools are like that though. Any Army, Navy, Marine, because they get you in. It's a college course, but they do it in like half the time.
Yeah,
and so you got to learn it quick, and then like I said, after I took the test and I got my certificate or whatever, I was like, I'm done.
Some people that's fine for. Some people need multiple.
That's true. That's
reiterations.
True.
And
for me, the Army was every course was a train the trainer. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I went through SRT phase one, right? Special Reactions Team phase one. And that course was supposed to be a 40-hour a week course. Fuck whoever wrote that curriculum. Like, I hope the dude that wrote that curriculum and put in there, yeah, we're first week is range work for 8 hours a day, if you know what I mean.
I do.
So the reason I say that is because a lot of the times when people are teaching, they don't really have the necessary components to be able to teach. So that's a training problem, right? That's easily solved with a training problem. Mm-hmm. And if that person can't, they can't. They go on. My point is, the ASVAB seems to be, like, to me, one of the best ways to tell someone's IQ.
It's absolutely the best.
That's free, mm-hmm. right? Because
it covers nine.
Yeah, so that's my true. My whole thing is that the reason also why we do that is because if you can pass the bare minimum calculations of these mathematical equations, you can go be a sapper, because to be a sapper or to be a breacher,
you got
to
know.
You have to know how to calculate these things. Mm-hmm. How can we change this fucking curriculum then?
Because if you take federal dollars, you have to
teach what they give, right? So that's why I understood that in the beginning.
So how do we change that? Here's how you change. First, you got to not be afraid of the federal government. And I'll talk about the COVID mandate deal, but one thing I learned from telling the federal government, you know, basically to go pound sand, I'm not getting mm-hmm. the shot.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's like, oh, the big, bad, scary federal government. Well, I fought back against them, mm-hmm. and they're like a 3-year-old. 6 months later, they were worried about the next problem.
Yeah. Oh, because you were true. In during the COVID mandate. Yeah. How did that go for you?
Basically, I went to JAG and said, I'm not getting the shot. I mean, I didn't have anybody else back me. I didn't have anybody mm-hmm. in my state leadership or upper military leadership, because everybody's scared of the big, bad federal government. Mm-hmm. And I told JAG, I said, hey, there's got to be something I can do. I said, I will not get this. Uh-huh. I know this is a political shot, and it's been proven that's all it was, because yep. I don't know anybody that their life was saved by taking a
they did the same thing to me in VA
a shot. So I go to JAG and they're like, hey, the best advice we can give you is go through the exemption process. They said the exemption is going to take about 1.5 to 2 years, and so they're going to deny you. They're going to deny it. But you also have the right to appeal it, and it's the same process. So our recommendation to you is basically wait it out. Go through the process and wait it out, and we hopefully it'll go away.
How did your leadership treat you during that time?
Like, they didn't treat me bad. They
had to follow the rules. I guess.
They followed the rules. They went with they supported me in the aspect of, they understood where I was mm-hmm. standing my mm-hmm. ground.
Yeah.
But they they got the shot. They went through the, you know, because, and I don't fault them. You know, they're thinking about their families and stuff like that. So I really do not fault them. But the thing that made me the maddest out of all of it is everybody on the civilian side of state leadership. Where was my governor? Where's my lieutenant governor? Where was any of my state office? Where's my legislators? Where's my representative? Where was my senator? And all this, you know, now you got a senator who wants to act like he's doing something great with trying to get legislation about taking the COVID. Well, we're 3 years past needing that, you know, type of deal. Anyway, that little rant. But so what I was getting at is, yes, they're teaching these things and doing this because they're taking federal money. So as governor, you know, my main goal is to either completely annihilate DESE, the Department of Elementary Secondary Education, or really just do a complete reorganization to where we don't have so many people that are in there. So, and not take any federal dollars. You know,
that was the other thing I was going to ask you. If you don't take federal dollars, then you don't have to comply with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you think we have the budget to do that though? Because that's we do.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, that was. So, you didn't even let me finish that. I said budget. So, you're like, we have the fucking money.
So so here's the deal. We have another. Hold on. Before I go into that, let me finish. I want to give one more example. Okay. So I was in Kansas City area, and I won't name the school district, but a lady came up to me, and she's really concerned because I was there speaking, talking to. Mm-hmm. I go all over the state talking to groups.
Yeah.
You know, just. About me. And I was talking about teachers and all that. Well, she's on the school board and she's like, we don't want to have this literature, this, you know, basically the DEI, you know, all that garbage coming into our schools. But the federal government saying we have to because we took money,
yeah,
the federal money. I said, here's my recommendation to you. Don't do it. Fight against them. You know, drag your feet, they'll forget about it and they'll move on to something else type of deal. So that's kind of where I'm at. It's like the school districts that maybe have already taken the money, take a stand up for yourself, stand up for your kids, and stop being afraid of the big bad wolf. And I can say that because I did it. I'm like, I'm like,
it just seems
VA
to me,
was doing the same thing.
They were, but they weren't. They, I had an exemption. Like, you know why?
I
so hopefully that I was. I hope still. I was like. I was like.
No,
I waited. Yeah. I waited, and I'll say this now because I've never said it. I waited because I'm in a medical family. My wife and everybody in her family's worked in the medical field, and I come from a legal background, doing legal interpretations, working as an MP. So I know nothing of vaccines and shit like that. And then when I started talking to people, I started like noticing some things. So I just went to the doctor and he's like, no, you have an exemption. I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, do you want to? I'm like, no way. My problem with that whole thing was how businesses, it was okay for businesses to tell people if you don't do this, which I understand that there's certain standards that you want to do. But my whole problem with the whole situation is how some people got left out of a job, and now the problem with that, because this is a really big problem. Right? No, but I'll explain it in the simplest ways. Is that people don't buy into businesses because of money. A lot of times they buy into businesses because this fits what I believe in, and there's a really huge fucking shortage of teachers and nurses and cops, which I tell people all the time when they ask, why do you do jujitsu and stuff like that? I go, there's less than 50,000 active Leosha people in the state of Missouri. And there's over 4 million people in Missouri. You do the math on that.
I think the numbers are closer to 20 or 25,000 law enforcement.
I'm counting federal because I'm counting federal. So my whole problem with this is then there's a trust issue, right? Because if you as a company, give you a military example, if the first sergeant fucks me because he doesn't like how I handled something, that first of all, that or is just not like you, or he just doesn't like me for whatever reason, right? Yeah. And a lot of times it's just a personality thing, which that's happened to everybody. Oh, you've had a first sergeant, you've had a staff sergeant, you don't get along. So my whole thing is, how do we manage in that trust issue? Because I'll tell you what, right now, dude, like, I don't trust the Department of Education in Missouri. I don't trust
the
Department of Family Affairs in Missouri. Yeah, and we can get into that too. But the problem is that at some point we have to, we live in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you fix that issue of like, there's no trust? Because this goes also into like the teacher ordeal that I'm trying to say that like, there's a trust problem too. Cause I hear it. I hear everything.
How you fix the trust at my level is you don't. So I'm going into this as a non-politician because people are tired of politicians because they're not trusted. I'm not going to change who I am just because I get the governor seat. You know, I was in Callaway County a couple nights ago and my battalion commander from 03 when I deployed was there and he goes, hey, do you want to. Would you mind if I said something before I went and spoke? I was like, well, nobody's asked me that before, but I mean, sure.
Yeah.
He goes, it'll only be 30 seconds. And it was a great point. He went up there and this is what he said about me. He goes, I knew this young man when he was 22 or 23 in 03. He was a good man. He was hardworking. He was honest. He goes, fast forward 20 years, Chris Wright's still the same hard worker, good man, good value. You know, nothing has changed about me in the last 20 years because I don't conform to whatever I think is going to benefit me or what. I just act like I am who I am. And and that goes into the governor's seat.
You get what you and that's the. The vibe that I've gotten from you is like you didn't try to give me cookie cutter answers. And like even before we started, the moment I was like, oh yeah, I'm a OIF OEF vet. And Eric's like, I did 20 years. He's like, ah, the boys are back in town.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's gonna be a fun podcast.
Yeah.
Cause I've got another set of friends. Have you ever heard of Damn Good Friends?
Is that a podcast?
Yeah, they got a podcast. You should look them up. So it's a couple of veteran guys also. I was on there. Like, it's just fun whenever you can get with other veterans.
Oh, yeah.
It's like we just understand different things. I don't know.
It's three different experiences. Like, I was active duty MP. You know, you went dental and you went engineer. Eric was aviation guy. And, you know.
And at the end of the day, it's like, I didn't know you guys before you contacted me about coming on here. But. Yeah. It was that natural camaraderie, and none of us felt like we needed to BS each other.
Oh, yeah.
No, well, yeah.
It's because it's just not what we do as veterans. Yeah.
No. Know?
So one of the things that I wanted to touch upon moving on from that was you found out that I used to work trafficking cases. And there we go. Up, 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 up. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Okay.
Yeah. See, up, up. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Looks good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That looks good.
Okay.
So, which is one of the reasons that I saw that one of your campaign points was, end human trafficking. And I have questions. First of all, what got your attention from that issue and how did that come to be?
A few years ago, I've got a buddy, another veteran. Mm-hmm. He's a Marine Corps veteran. I was just talking to him, just BSing one day. And he's like, you know, you ought to come help volunteer with me. I'm like, okay, stupid. Be more specific. You know, what do you volunteer? Yeah. You know, I'm not. Yeah. Just and he goes, well, I'm with an organization that helps, fight against human trafficking. And I was like, I'm in. Like,
yeah.
I've known about human trafficking, but I never really paid attention to it because you don't, even back then, even now, you don't really hear a whole lot about it. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, what, you know, I'm in, what do you got? And so on Wednesday nights, we would go with the whole group, and the women would go into a certain place, and then us guys would be security for the women because they were going into some rough places. And, you know, for that year and a half or so that I was volunteering, which I ended up having to stop volunteering because I'm running for governor. Yeah. And it just wasn't the places we were going to be. If somebody didn't know I was running for governor and they saw him, anyway, it could turn into a shit show.
Yeah.
So for that year and a half, I really got to get that ground level experience, knowledge, and just education on how bad human trafficking is. Like I never really realized how bad it was. And to kind of put this into context, you know, what's the number one problem in America? Drugs.
Drugs. Yeah.
What's the number two?
Border. Yeah.
Human trafficking is number two behind drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's how bad it's gotten. And to touch on the border, it's more than just illegal immigrants come across the border.
Oh, yes, definitely.
It's terrorists. It's human traffickers. It's drugs. The whole
anything you can think
of. Anything bad is coming across there.
Oh, I interpreted that at the border years ago.
Yeah, that's what got me, you know, so I started looking at, well, what's Missouri doing? Well, this may or may not shock you, and depend on if you, which organization, we're either number three or we're number four in the nation in human trafficking. And I'm like, what the crap is going on? I was like, I didn't understand it. And as I, even after I announced my run for governor, I'm still going to human trafficking workshops to learn more because it's a huge problem. And as governor, I want to be as knowledgeable. Anyway, it's the interstates. We got, and
yeah,
shout out to the good truck drivers, but there's a lot of human trafficking that is done through truck driving. We've got I-70, we've got I-44, we've got I-35, which guess where that goes to?
Oh yeah.
Down to Mexico.
Down south, yeah.
So, and I asked, well, why truck driving? Well, it makes perfect sense. The bad truck driver who's smuggling people, they still get to make money.
Mm-hmm.
They have a sleeper / cage. And as long as they don't get pulled over for a traffic or DOT violation, they're off the grid.
Yeah.
There's no tracking them, you know, because they have that right to privacy with their sleeper. So it's not like they can just get their sleeper checked all the time. So it really is a perfect scenario for that crime. I just looked at it and I love people, and it's just, it breaks my heart to see humans getting trafficked and smuggled and sexually assaulted and kids and just so.
But do you think the problem is, because whenever I talk to people about it, they're like, well, yeah, that doesn't happen here.
Bullshit. It's everywhere.
No, I'm just saying, it's whenever you talk to the general population,
because they don't know. And I'll admit, I was part of that general population who
is like, that's in Texas. That didn't happen here. We're too far from the border.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of people think
that. But I was one of those that had my head in the sand for it just because, you know, in life, you're so busy just living life. And if you don't experience or see it firsthand, then does it really exist? You know, with quotations, but absolutely.
I think the issue why a lot of people have their head in the sand is because people cannot fathom as to the level of malevolence. And I say this a lot, and people used to make fun of me when I used to say, because they're like, sounding like all Batmanish, like, but dude, I've done hundreds of cases of child trafficking. I've done doll interviews. If you don't know what a doll interview is, it's basically where they sit down with a trained forensic psychologist and all this, and they figure out what the kid's talking about. And I think that one of the issues is a lack of education.
Absolutely.
And I actually want to send you this, so I pulled it up here, which I won't show it because people pay for this, but this is a course that I actually teach. It's like a 3-hour long course that I teach that you and I sit down and get more. And one of the things that I want to point out is, as shitty as truckers are, there's also an organization called Truckers Against Trafficking, which every single gas station that I have been to has a sticker of Truckers Against Trafficking. and they have the thing in English and they have it in Spanish. That's one of the things that I've seen. The second thing that I've seen is there's a lot of very little knowledge as to how these things work. How much is there, how little is there, not a lot. Because I know that I teach people a lot about it, and every chance I get, I talk about it. So how do we fix the lack of awareness, and how do you break that barrier? Because like you said, a lot of people have their head in the sand.
You asked. So I was in Jackson County at a human trafficking deal, and to learn about it, not supporting it. Let me, some people will twist that. And there was a gentleman, I can't remember his last name. His first name's Dan, and he's a retired trooper from Springfield. He goes around and teaches people the signs. And so how do we, you know, your question is how do we fix some of this? And first step at my level is getting state funding to go towards these organizations who teach it, because the perfect example was he taught Lee Summit, I believe it was Lee Summit Police Department or Blue Springs. He had taught a bunch of officers, because they didn't know, you know, we don't get this training when we're in the police academy. So for people out there listening, I used to be a police officer, so I know what I'm talking about. We don't get this in the police academy training. So it was something as simple as the officers went through the training. Within like 3 days, an officer noticed a child just had a simple dot on like a finger or something.
Middle ring finger.
And so he knew. So he was able to get the child and the perp separate. I don't remember how they did it, but, and he asked the little girl, he's like, you know, are you okay? You know, you're you're safe. And she felt safe. And she goes, there's four more at the house. Do you want to go? And immediately they went to the house and said, so just something as simple as seeing that dot because of the training. And that's why, you know, screw sending money from our budget to things that support things that the taxpayer does not need to be paying for. Let's put more money into things like that, because that $1,000 for the training for that officer saved five children. You know, we got people that'll spend $5,000 on a football ticket.
But they won't spend. And that's one of the reasons why I brought her, because I wanted to offer like my, my services to that. Cause that's one of the things that, when I've seen your videos, the few that are there, that you've been very open about that. And like, I'm super open about it, because I was those people.
Because it's real.
And it's it's traumatizing as fuck.
It is. Like,
to be woken up in the middle of the night for some of these things.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I appreciate you talking about that. One of the other things that I wanted to touch upon was we've talked about Jeff City and about budgets and about law enforcement, all this stuff. I think everything is tied, right? I think the budget of all these things go. How can we fix the lack of funding for training for cops? Because I personally notice, and a comic said this joke years ago, is that it takes about 1,500 hours to do this, but it takes about 600 hours to be law enforcement. How can we fix that? Because obviously people don't want to be cops because of the time. So I also understand.
This is, you know, the question is, how do we fix the funding? And that goes back to pay attention to your candidates. Like, you guys have known me now for 45 minutes. You know, I don't, I just tell it black and white. I used to be a cop. So our current governor is 22 years of law enforcement, but what's he really done, you know, for the law enforcement? Maybe a little bit, but you gotta get somebody like me who's really going to push that effort with the funding, with, because I know how important it is.
So the budget's going to be your biggest challenge, it sounds like.
You get because, well, the governor's got a lot of power and a lot of sway. Now, ultimately, it's going to be legislatives that, you know, but I can set the priorities of the budget.
Yeah, but I'm just saying you still have to deal with a Congress and a Senate. Yeah. You just can't, you know, go in there and say,
I can't strong arm. But here's the other thing why it makes me a perfect candidate is, you know, my days as a cop, I couldn't just go around shooting people, druggies, all that stuff.
That's why I didn't become a Jakai.
I had to learn how to communicate and how to negotiate without selling my soul type of deal.
De-escalation of force.
And because that's exact, because I was 150 pounds with all my equipment. What was I going to do? You know, I had to learn how to talk and how to reason with people. And, you know, let's say you and I are getting in an argument and you're just not on my side for whatever reason. I know how to kind of go off the side and say, hey, this is why I feel like I do. Explain to me why you feel like you know, just really breaking down the
now I was going to ask you now
the barriers.
They really do a good in England, you know, British, they don't have guns. So they de-escalate. That's their biggest thing, because they don't have guns. Now sometimes the perp does. But they have, that's what they basically.
I didn't realize England doesn't have guns.
They have two types of cops, and their training is well over 1,200 hours.
Yeah. Because I'm not saying take away the guns. All I'm saying is that their priority is to de-escalate. Yeah. And that's what they train.
I can further elaborate on that, actually.
Okay.
England has what's called community policing.
Yeah.
Right? Community policing is something that originated from back in the 20s. When, like, you've heard like the expression cops. Walk the beat, right? Yeah. It's because you're walking around and people know you and you have a set schedule. In Puerto Rico, we have that.
Oh, yeah.
In Puerto Rico, we have community policing. You have people that they walk the streets of San Juan. You have cops that they walk the beat, right? Mm-hmm. But also, there's not a shortage of people wanting to be cops. So I think it's a multi-layered issue, because everybody who thinks that wants to be a cop, they think that they want to be a SWAT. And what they don't understand is, for you to be in a SWAT team, you have to have a pretty high IQ, number one. There's like a lot of things that happen that it's just not only shooting. You also have to be able to articulate how you shot. You also have to be responsible for every bullet that leaves that fucking weapon.
Instant critical thinking.
Correct.
Yes.
So I just don't know, man. Like, I really don't know. I don't know if community policing is the solution.
It's funny you brought that up, because I was thinking about, because we have such a shortage in law enforcement officers.
Huge.
You know, what can I do as governor to, you know, perfect example, and I use this when I talk about schools and the safety of schools. Like, we have so many veterans.
Mm-hmm.
That have been trained in the weapons, trained in the critical thinking, that they don't have anything to do because they're done with their military service.
Or they're 100% totally and permanently, and they can still work. They just don't know what the fuck
you know,
to do.
As long as they can pass a mental health background check and they're not, you know, no crimes against family.
Of course.
You know, we have a whole bunch of people that would be great candidates for being like your community police. You know, give them the powers, maybe not arrest powers, but at least give them the powers to where
I see what you mean.
So it's like a security, like you could put like a veterans, they could be at a school. I don't know if you're for that.
Yes, absolutely. I'm also police for
at movie theaters, because these are soft targets.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the thing, because so that brings me to my next point, is it's a soft target, right? And, you know, I think if that occurred to, like, one of the reasons why Springfield is a hub for trafficking is because I can take someone and this is, again, like, I want to preface this, like, this is going to sound really fucked up, but this is how these people think. So just before I get a fucking email, I can kidnap someone here and I can be in Arkansas or I can be in Oklahoma in less than 2 hours.
Yeah,
because I have multiple access, which you talked about that, right?
Yeah.
So one of my things with community policing is that I have a simpler solution for you. What is Fort Leonard Wood home of the regiment of?
MPs.
And what else? Engineers.
Engineers.
And
chemical.
Yep. And logistics.
Logistics. Yeah. Logistics.
I thought logistics was in Fort Huachuca. Anyway,
88 mics. 88 mics.
Okay.
Transportation.
Oh,
transportation.
Okay. That I got.
But they now teach that.
I'm thinking intelligence, not.
So then, how are we not pulling or doing something with Fort Leonard Wood to fix this? You literally have the home of the fucking military.
You could set up like an OJT.
It's just an observation.
I think the reason for that is because it is a federal active duty base. Mm-hmm. That's just. and federal government's not going to get involved. That's just my thought. I mean,
but even recruiting, like, there has to be something we can do where some of those guys that are National Guardsmen saying, hey,
oh, if they're National Guardsmen, hey, then yes, I would have the power as the governor.
So that's my thing.
Deploy them, activate them for a state emergency. I would have the power to declare a state of emergency. And those are definitely, they're more than just thoughts. Those are things that if I feel like we have issues, I'm calling up the people in the National Guard. They want to serve their communities. They want to do things. And a lot of times they're just tired of going to drill, doing training, and they want to go do something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, that's why I say I have a lot of friends who are in the National Guard and they're MPs. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I had asked them to ask you about. It's like, hey, you know, what about us who are MPs in the National Guard? Like,
instead of sending them to Cuba or wherever they've been sending for the last 10 years, use them in our freaking state.
Yeah. You could send them to Kansas City, Springfield. I mean, yeah. St. Louis.
There has to be something because they're already trained too. And like the thing with military police training is heavily, heavily, heavily. At least when I went through, was on self-defense and de-escalation. Mm-hmm. Because since you had basic training for weapons and you had over 4 weeks of weapons or whatever.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
You have them trained on that. And then it's just a matter of lateral training. Because there has to be a solution for that. Like, well, there just has to be.
And you're right on the money. The military, during basic training, has more training on weapons than they do in the police academy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Handguns, grenades, rifles, short rifles, long rifles. I think it used to be shotguns back when I was in.
Well, yeah, we didn't do shotguns.
I did notice when overseas, most places, cops didn't blend in. They had like a big orange or yellow or bright green on the
uniform.
Cars.
Yeah,
uniform also. It's like you didn't have to go like, where's a cop? They didn't blend in. They stood out on purpose. And I think they do that because it deters. Because if you see a cop, it deters because you can see him. But if you don't see him, then you're like, oh, nobody's around. I can do this. I don't know if there's a reason why the police guards are designed the way they are.
Because I feel like for that exact reason, it's a deterrent. And two, if there is an emergency, you need to know as quick as possible who
exactly. To help. It just made sense to me that you know where the cops are at, and when you're overseas, it was not a problem because they stood out. And here in I'm not knocking the police, I'm just saying if something goes wrong and I need the police, the cars blend in with all the other cars. If it weren't for some of them don't even have the lights on top of the car.
Again, and I'm not the chief of police in Springfield. Yeah. I feel a lot of it is kind of that understaffing. You don't have as many patrol units that are going to be marked versus kind of your more undercover detective type of cars. Yeah,
I get that.
And so you got to, rob Peter to pay Paul type of situation.
Okay, it was just
that would be my guess.
It
was just a thought because it was just something that really glared out when I was overseas. There was not a problem.
You knew who was.
Yeah,
who.
You knew who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From my experience, at least, I don't. That's actually a good question. I have two thoughts on it. One is SWAT. I got to look cool. And the other one is also probably this is the one, budget, because painting vehicles is expensive, but black and white is not fucking expensive at all.
No, but putting that big old decal saying Department of Police,
correct,
protect and serve, that also costs money.
Yeah. So you're looking at people that, like he's trying to say, is. It's a budget issue. It's a bunch of other issues. My experience with Springfield PD has been great. Like I got pulled over one time and I was like, hey man, like I was honest. And he's like,
99.9% of the cops are fantastic people.
Yeah. Like I said, I wasn't knocking them. Wondering about the paint job.
Yeah.
I was just, that just seemed weird to me.
Springfield also has like a 90%, like I think like an over 90% accuracy rate in incidents. Like, so like if you get in a shootout with them, like
you're dead.
I think Delta is like 99 point something that you got to pass and shit like that. Yeah.
They need to stop the target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm glad they hit what they're aiming at. So that's
I read that like a while ago. I was like, Shropshire Police Department has a 90% accuracy rating. I'm like,
shout out to all you shooters out
there. No doubt. Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Chris, I gotta ask you, man. what's one thing that you're gonna miss about the military now that you're out? You did 20, you know, like what's one thing that you feel like, fuck, you know, like morning formations at 5:30 in the morning and listening to Reveille and saluting the flag is what I'm going to miss, which I pray to God that's not what you tell me.
No, you know, I've gotten to the age now where, you know, when I was younger, I really like just going and being but now I'm that, for lack of better terms, that crusty old E7 that, you know, and I'm not even old and crusty. I'm 43.
Yeah.
You know, I look pretty young and, you know, but, you know.
Yeah, you don't look like you want to hate fuck everybody.
I mean, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Even when you walked in, I'm like, did this guy really deploy? Which, by the way, I never met someone who did. You did 17 months before
Yeah.
Continuously, right? I never met someone who got fucked harder than I did. I did 15.
Well. Right here.
I was like, oh God, after 9 months, you just want to murder the people around you.
So going back to the question, I'm going to miss the teaching because I really enjoy teaching people because I've lived a full life and I've got so many life experiences. I really like to give that to the junior soldiers that I'm over. I'd like just teaching them the truth, have respect, but know the truth. That's probably what I'm going to miss the most. But going back to the deployment, we were only supposed to be there 6 months.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
That's what she said.
Oh my God. It was, I'll be honest. I enjoyed my deployment. We had a, so you know, the E4 Mafia, you know,
Whoa.
It's real.
The views expressed in this episode of the Rico podcast do not represent Eric Macro and Ricardo Vilas. And a shout out to the E4 Mafia.
So overseas and the ones that deployed, it kind of turned into a state, you know, known thing. So, me and three other guys, we had this group called WAGS, right? Albius, Garnett, and Spears. And, oh my gosh, I'm going to tell you some stories if we got time for some stories. But
I got all the time in the world.
Okay, man. So this is what WAGS – no, I'm good. So this is what WAGS was about. So we're over in a war zone, you know, and somebody had the dumb idea to make us do a PT test and do PT while we're in a war zone.
Oh yeah, of course.
So me and the boys, WAGS, we're sitting around, we're like, no, we're not doing this. So middle of the night, we took a bunch of sandbags because everything's sandbagged over there. We took the sandbags about 2 o'clock in the morning and went to the company commander's tent and sandbagged his door to where he couldn't get out, and we sprayed no PT. and so, you know,
I like that. Good.
The next morning, there's a, like, we never had morning formations because it was kind of the wild, wild west back then.
Yeah.
And we get a company formation, and
I
look at my boys, I'm like, here we go. You know, they know, but we, like, they didn't know who it was going to be. So the company commander gets out and he's pissed. He goes, you know, the only thing that makes me the maddest about this whole thing is at 4 o'clock in the morning, I had to take the worst piss of my life and I can't get out of my door.
Sit in a bottle, bro.
I know. Do what everybody else does.
What do you think we do on mission? You think I'm not whipping my dick out in a Gatorade bottle?
And so
maybe throwing it to... No.
So he actually took it pretty well, other than the fact he had to pee so bad.
So you didn't do PT test then?
We did, but we still did a protest.
Okay.
We made our point because we didn't do PT, like organized PT anymore. We still had to do the PT test, but we didn't do the organized PT.
I got one for you.
Yeah, because we did the same thing. Somebody was like, hey, we need PT. We're on a boat.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah.
And I'm
shut
like,
the fuck up.
Well, jump off. Like, did you want us to like dodge the planes? I mean, because in the hangar bay and on the flight deck, there's planes. There's not. It looks big and spacious when there's no planes on it. But when all the planes are there,
work out on your own.
Anyway, so we worked that out, and we wait till we got to Spain, and then we went to the I think it was the Spain Army base, and we did PT there. But that was a suggestion. Hey, we could do it on the flight deck. What? Stupid. Have you been up there? Have you actually been up there? And are they going to suspend flight ops so we can PT? I don't think so.
Those are the people that make Sergeant Major.
Yeah. He was probably, I think he's an E7.
Guys,
I had to be.
Guys, I have a great idea. We're going to PT on the flight deck in the middle of the storm. Listen, no. We're going to submit a composite of risk management. And we're all going to clip on to the side of the boat while we're crossing the fucking Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. We're going to do it for an hour. It's going to be cardio. So drink some water. Don't eat. I would not eat. I would not eat the night before if I was you.
Just drink water.
And that motherfucker gets recommend for promotion.
Of course.
Like, yeah.
That's the way it works.
It's shocking.
I'm just glad somebody talked him out of it, or somebody had above him and said, yeah, we're not doing that.
Well, Chris, this has been awesome, man. I greatly appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, I love doing these.
Yeah, no, I'd love to have you back. You win or lose, man, to share some more stories. Before we head out, you've been very kind to do this. I appreciate it. Could you give everybody, like, you know, just give them the spiel of where they can find you if they want to talk to you and all this other stuff?
Yeah, you can go to my website. It's www.chriswright4mogovernor.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a link you can click on, contribute, volunteer, or if you want to learn more about me, also social media. I do a lot of Facebook, do reels, stuff like that. Okay. Man, I just put it all out there, and whenever I talk, I don't butter your biscuit. You know, okay. I'm just giving you the biscuit.
Do you know where you're at on the ballot? Are you like on the top, or are you on the bottom?
Dude,
of the
I drew the worst. I'm number like 6 or 7. I drew so the guy that's running, he's now part of the KKK or anyway. Daryl McClan, look him up. Daryl McClallahan. The Republican Party is trying to get him kicked off because he's got pictures of him at a burning cross. And
oh yeah, that's not good.
So he drew like 50. You know,
there's a lottery.
The random lottery number. It's like 1 through 1,000. He draws like 50.
Jesus Christ. No.
Yeah, not McCona, McClallahan.
Spell that out for me.
I don't. N A N A. Get close and it'll get there.
It's not close. What are you typing?
Hold on. I'm going to find this.
First one that pops up. That's
told you. I think you can do one of the lowest numbers out of all.
Well, you know, but when you're.
Yeah, that's him right there.
Yeah.
So I drew like 690. It was.
Oh, yeah. So you're down at the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I was smack dab in the middle.
Oh God!
Right in the, yeah,
there was. There
yeah,
was,
I can't show this. Fuck no! You no, can't this show will, that. Yeah, no, this no, episode no. will get. Yeah, but I can't show this.
Yeah,
he claims that was some. I don't know.
I like the little salute he was doing.
Okay, guys, come on, Jesus.
And it's weird. So there's 8 of us on the Republican ticket. 4 people don't even. They don't do anything. You know,
no campaign or anything, or
no, there's 4 of us that have been on the campaign trail. You know, I've been almost a year and a half campaigning, mm-hmm. Which is a long time, but yeah, there's 4 that I don't know. I don't know if they just wanted to get on the ballot to win a prize. I don't know.
I just know
complete waste of
$500. I just know from experience, it is exhausting running to all these places to give talks or to show up for this or that.
Yeah,
it is exhausting. So I don't know if they didn't realize what they were getting into.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it was a lot more involved than I thought it was going to be.
And you ran, did you say for U.S. Senate?
Yeah.
So you ran statewide all over the state as well then?
Yeah, I was trying to go everywhere and it was exhausting and my budget was not as good as the other two guys, obviously. Yeah, yeah. So well, they really outspent
before
me.
We get out of hand, because we can talk here in a minute. Chris, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate you doing
that. Thanks for coming by. I appreciate it. Yeah. And good luck in the race.
Thank you. Thank you.
Click the like and subscribe on the YouTube. Y'all know the deal.